ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर नंबर 18 टेक्स्ट नंबर 3। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज लॉर्ड बलराम स्लेज द डीमन प्रलंभ। स च वृंदावन गुण वसंत इव लक्षितः यत्रास्ते भगवान् साक्षा रामेण सह केशवः। Just translation, there is no purport, so we'll take the next verse also. Nevertheless, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead was personally staying in Vrindavan along with Balaram, summer manifested the qualities of spring. Such are the features of the land of Vrindavan. Text 4. Yatra nirhar nirharad nivritta svan jilikyam shashvate चिक्रज ऋषि द्रुम मंडल मंडितम। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पोर्टपोर्ट बाय द सर्वेंट्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। इन वृंदावन द लाउड साउंड ऑफ वाटरफॉल्स कवर्ड द क्रिकेट नॉइज एंड क्लस्टर्स ऑफ ट्री कॉन्स्टेंटली मॉइस्टर्ड बाय स्प्रे फ्रॉम दोज वाटरफॉल्स ब्यूटिफाइड द एंटायर एरिया। पोर्टपोर्ट: This and the following three verses describe how Vrindavan manifested the feature of spring, even during the summer season. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya. Nevertheless, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hare Krishna. So this is the description of Vrindavan forest before Pralambasura will enter into and create disturbance. And here in Shukadeva Goswami is speaking to Parikshit Maharaj that how Vrindavan would create spring season even in the summer season, not artificially by air conditioner, but the very land, the way it was arranged. If you study the verses here, Shukadeva Goswami glorifies the land of Vrindavan because Krishna was there. Therefore, even in the summer, the Grishma Rutu, they were experiencing Vasanta Rutu. But they worked for it. The Brajvasis, you know, they were extremely careful in regards to dealing with Krishna's nature. Krishna's nature means the land of Vrindavan. There were a lot of water bodies, waterfall was there. And because of that, the land, many verses are explaining this feature. So what happened because of that, even though there was a scorching sun, the land, because of water, there was green grass. Because they were conscious of Krishna's land. To create that facility for Krishna and to his friends, all the Brijbasis, you know, whether consciously or unconsciously, of course consciously, they were working to keep it very green. Therefore, in bhakti, devotional service doesn't happen abruptly and suddenly and accidentally. All the features which are described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you know, they are always orderly. There is coherency, there is systematic progression. Sometime we think that bhakti means suddenly everything becomes nice. Suddenly becoming everything nice is a Big Bang theory. It is not devotional service. So, because we have the concept of Big Bang Theory, we try to apply that also in devotional service. Because when we apply the concept of Big Bang Theory in bhakti also, we don't have to take any responsibility. All responsibility is with Krishna. If Krishna comes, everything becomes automatic. That defies the very definition of devotional service. One has to do as it is expected about Vrindavan, and then Krishna will reciprocate. If you see this entire chapter before Pralambasura came, Krishna's coward friends, their play, the kind of games they were playing. Now if you take some children without giving them video games, cricket bat, you know, all the sophisticated shoes and all the sports games, they'll be lost. Kya karna hai, kuch to do khelne ke liye. They will not know what to do without all these ingredients. But here in Krishna's friends, you don't find anyone carrying anything. They didn't bring from their home, you know, their parents didn't pack a big bag. You find all this cricket coaching classes, all the children are carrying load, hamal jaise leke ghumte rehte. And only they have all the sophisticated equipments, they assume, then I'll become best of the player. Unless you are best of the coaching, you know, the psychological pressure given to the children is that unless you are the best of the coacher, best of the bat, best of the pad, best of the ball, best of the ground, there is no chance that you'll become best of the player. So when there is a sophistication in lifestyle, there is only assumption. Very interesting, if you read, none of Krishna's friend had anything except they were genius in inventing new sports. In fact, one person from IIM Delhi, Ahmedabad, he works with villagers in regards to village technology. So he was mentioning in one of his articles that the villager, because there is a desperation, because there is no facility, and in that desperate situation, in a helpless situation, he becomes very ingenious, he becomes very creative. And that creativity makes him create so many nice things, which otherwise a normal human being with all the facilities cannot, because his creativity is destroyed. Sometime when children play video games, you know, when they play very fast using all the computer, and the parents say, just see, my child is so intelligent. I saw one mentally retarded child also playing equally good as other children were playing. I was quite amazed by that a mentally retarded child is playing a video game as fast as anybody else, because there is no creative intelligence. You don't require a creative intelligence to play video games. What you require is nothing, no ingredients in your hand, then your creative intelligence, you know, becomes enhanced. So Krishna's friend, when they were playing in Vrindavan, they invented so many games. You know, they would make sound and they would play hide and seek without anything. There is no bat, it's very amazing. We are all conditioned. If we are sent to the forest, even brahmacharis look for something, no? If they have to play also. Why? Because the conditioning. But in Vrindavan, Vrindavan means even decoration. In fact, the Bhagavatam explains when Mother Yashoda would decorate Krishna with all kind of jewels. But when you would come to the forest, then what they would do? Krishna's friend and Krishna himself, you know, they would use leaves. Now if somebody in their marriage anniversary gift, if you offer some nice leaves to your wife, okay, take this and decorate yourself. No? That will not work. But here Bhagavatam explains, Krishna, even though Mother Yashoda would decorate him with all kinds of ornaments, but his favorite was, he would collect the minerals, collect the colors from the forest. They knew how to pluck certain flowers and leaves and make different kinds of colors and decorate themselves with beautiful, you know, with flowers and make more beautiful. One time one of our devotee was mentioning, he said he met one lady teacher who was working in such kind of school, an alternative school. You know, being first generation, second generation, third generation, raised in that kind of surrounding only. And some other, their daughter and the mother had to go for a marriage ceremony. And this girl, because she was raised in a village, you know, she had nothing on her body other than simple clothes. So when she went to the marriage, she saw everyone gorgeously decorated. Very gorgeously decorated. So the girl naturally felt, I also need something. So when she came back, she was cribbing, I don't have anything. Then her grandmother, who was also part of that school, she took her around. And then she plucked flowers she plucked leaves. And through those leaves and flowers, she made so many decorative items. He said, this is fresh. So that impression was so strong, and that girl never ever asked for anything. And this is the very girl, she had grown up now, she was telling this story to our devotee. After that, मैंने उसको कभी पूछा ही नहीं. It is not speaking, it's experience. So she experienced that such kind of life has great of it has great satisfaction. So simply living in village without the wisdom, if you go and see in the villages, you know, they are dreaming of coming to cities. They have a very fancy idea of city life. And dream stage is always the most effective stage, because you experience the bliss only in dream stage. In reality, you don't. I remember many years back, Shyamananda Prabhu gave a very beautiful example about a car. He said, it stuck in my mind many, many years back. He said, a car is always very good when you don't own it, when you dream about it. He said, you will talk, arey, main isko le jaunga. You only talk about positivity when you don't have an actual car. No, I will drive it here, I will drive there, I'll go around with my family, sab jagah main jaunga. You never talk in your dream about car getting punctured. You don't talk about car getting towed. You don't talk about car getting, you know, had to be taken to the mechanic. Now, if you analyze, we see in our dream, especially when you want to have something, the item which gives you sense gratification according to our estimation, we always have a very good side of the story. We never have a bad story. If you actually have a bad story, then you will not buy one. You will analyze good side and the bad side. But we do not analyze the bad side, we only analyze good side. But when actually the car comes, when you park it, you bring it to the temple to perform puja in the very first day only, because it's, you know, what happens? Your car is towed. Then the reality dawns. Arey, car is not only giving pleasure, it's also giving a headache. So reality of pleasure is only on the dream stage, because no item in this world gives pure pleasure to us. Therefore Prabhupada explains that material life, there is pure misery and mixed happiness, unalloyed misery and mixed happiness. Mixed happiness means what? Mixed happiness means there is a seed of suffering. There is a seed of suffering. You know, and I was talking to Maharaj one day about same concept. He was telling some story, and Maharaj said, seed of suffering? No, banyan tree of suffering. You know, it's a banyan tree of suffering, because it creates more and more suffering. Why? Because when satisfaction is only based upon what you have in the dream stage, and when it comes to reality stage, it is not that what we expected. Therefore, the whole concept of villagers, unfortunately now, I was reading one book in regards to education. You know, this is a survey conducted by some people in Himalayan area. Now they are so fortunate. You know, we are sitting here and studying. They are very fortunate because there is a natural air, nice water, mountains. You know, you can go sit anywhere and chant your Hare Krishna mantra also. You know, or you can do your meditation. But it is not like that. Those who are there, they are dreaming, main Bombay kabhi jaunga. When will I go to Delhi? Delhi will be so nice. Mumbai will be so nice. You know, fast trains. Idhar to chadna padta itna. You know, everywhere, all difficulties are there. So because they are in the dream stage, if you go and tell about the realities of Mumbai, even by the Mumbaiites, they will not accept it, because the experience is not there. When the conviction is developed on the dream stage, however much we speak, it does not transform into a realization. A realization can only come when we actually experience. Unfortunately, for most people it is like that. Since we are ordinary, ordinary people need gross experiences. In the villages we see, it is not that the rains don't come, rains do come. But because the efforts are not made, to harvest water, if you harvest water, then what happens? Instantly your land becomes green in all the three seasons. Summer, winter, rainy season, all the three seasons, it is full of greenery. In the Ramayana, Dasharatha Maharaj's Ayodhya is described. Why Ayodhya is so beautiful? Ayodhya is very beautiful, not because simply Lord Ram came there. As I said, it is not anything accidental. When the Lord appears, we see in the Bhagavatam, when Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears. Now there is so much of organization involved. All the demigods come down. You know, prior to the Supreme Personality of Godhead's appearance, nothing happens abruptly. Krishna comes and everybody changes. All become Brajvasis, everybody's consciousness becomes full of Vrindavan consciousness. No, there is so much of organization, arrangement. All that Krishna, when he told the demigods, you go down. You know, whether yourself directly or the expansion. They have to come down and to create a background. And what a background. You know, some people have to take so much of responsibility, like Vasudeva and Devaki. It is not that they experience bliss instantly. In fact, they experience only suffering. The news when they heard Krishna is coming, eighth son of Vasudeva and Devaki, and he will be the killer of Kamsa, first thing they went to the jail. No, first thing they went to jail and they suffered so much. Then Krishna appeared at the eighth child. And before that, so many demigods came and did so many things. So, after and before, there is so much of organization to experience the bliss of Vrindavan. So, in Ayodhya also, it is explained that Ayodhya means which is not conquerable. The word Ayodhya means cannot be conquered. But how was Ayodhya so beautiful? The poetic descriptions are there, described very beautifully, as if they are automatic. But when you keep on reading more and more, like the same verse also, wherein Sukadeva Goswami is saying that Vrindavan was naturally beautiful because Krishna was there. But why it became beautiful? Because Krishna came, so everyone who was interested in serving Krishna, they created that facility for Krishna to enjoy, and in turn they also got the enjoyment. It's not accidental. So Ayodhya is spoken that in Ayodhya, even though there was drought for 12 years, there was no problem with water. No minister would ever say, you know, I would not say what he said. Only such low class people can say this. You know, that somebody, when there is, people don't have water, and they can use that water for a cricket ground. Right, so much of water being thrown on the ground, and it is not that, you know, people who are talking about, are you are spending so much of money for God, करोड़ रुपए खर्चा करते हो मंदिर बनाने के लिए, तो क्रिकेट के लिए उतना ही करते हैं. Somebody wrote an article, one social activist wrote, there are three districts in Maharashtra who are suffering severe drought, but there are three stadiums and their regular matches are going on, and even the farmers are going watching the matches. It is not that they are saying, okay, we will not watch them. They also want the same satisfaction. So how will they get? Abruptly, suddenly, the government will change. Government will not change because people don't know anything about it. So much of water, you know, a beautiful article somebody wrote. With all the statistics, how much water this grass drains. With that much of water, you could, you know, make so much of food grains. So in Ayodhya, why even after 11 years, drought was there, but people are not suffering. Why always the scripture talk about 12 years of drought, 12 years of drought, 12 years of drought? Drought should be 1 year is sufficient, 2 year is sufficient, 3 year means finished. If there is a continuous 3 years drought, then you are almost finished. Why it talks about 12 years of drought? Because it is explained that the ministers, the whole system was so arranged that there was a water harvesting system which is called as Nadi Matraka. Nadi Matraka means that the king would endeavor to create so much of water reservoirs so that even if there is a drought for 11 years, the water storage, the harvesting of the water would only maintain people even for 11 years. Then only 12th year when there is a drought, then there was a problem. Otherwise there was not a problem. So that means they were preparing for 11 years. And this is very beautifully explained. And then our own people call our scripture primitive. Isme koi practicality hai nahi. There is no practicality in this. It was there. You read, whether it is Mahabharata, whether it is Ramayana, whatever scripture you take, they always talk about it. There was a practical side also, that the water was produced, water was given. In fact, one expert was saying that if the land is made in such a way that if you have 1 acre of land, then 1/10 of your land should be having a water. Then throughout the year you can harvest food. Some devotees may say, you know, sitting, living in city, अरे हमको क्या लेना देना, हम तो खेती में रहते ही नहीं है. It has nothing to do with me. If I get 1/10 gunta land, if I get, I can build a big huge building, फिर बेचूंगा उसको, फिर इतना पैसा कमाऊंगा, you know. But unless water is there, unless food grain is there, as Prabhupada would always talk about this, if there is no grains, what will you eat? Nuts and bolts? That was the famous statement. What will you eat? So they say that, now how the typical farmer works, who is not having a wisdom, he thinks, why should I keep 1/10 of my acre for water body? Itna mera crop chala jayega. He doesn't work on maintaining water, and because he does not maintain to create water body, he get only one crop, because he's only depending on rains and is depending on the government. He is not putting in efforts. But if he puts in efforts, and if we also train on a philosophical aspect, worshipping Bhumi or tilling the land, creating a water, is like decorating Radharani, decorating Sita, decorating Lakshmi, only doing statue, then it becomes a statue worship. When we are not connected to Mother Bhumi and only doing a superficial deity worship, then what does happen? You know, we slowly start introducing items which are not even natural. Plastics are introduced, you know, synthetic things are introduced. Therefore, recently Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj is saying that head pujari means one of his main job is not only to create gorgeous things for Krishna, but to create natural things for Krishna. If he is not connected to natural things, he is only running Kalba Devi and, you know, Princess Street and running here and there, never comes to the garden, you know, grows something. No, then he's a typical city pujari. No. Only offering artificial stuff. But like I remember one time Maharaj was mentioning in a Bhagavatam class, when in New Vrindavan, first time they got this plume fruit. Now plume and mango, you know, you can't compare. You can't compare. You can't even keep plume fruit next to mango. It's an insult to mango. No? But he was mentioning, he said devotees would bring mangoes. But when they offered the plume from their own tree, there was a celebration. Why? Because there was a satisfaction that this is a local fruit growing in our own field, and when we offer it to Krishna, Krishna will become certainly most happy. And we read in the Bhagavatam, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. Very clearly Krishna is mentioning Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. What does he like? From a gross level and from, you know, from the scriptural understanding. Water means water. What water? Bisleri water? Avian water? No, water means water from the well. We are trying to make a well here. Our Vasudeva Prabhu, because there is a water shortage. Talks about well from the water, well from the river, water from the river. If you offer it to Krishna, why would Prabhupada, of all the story, now anyone who reads Lilamrit, now this story of an old lady, you know, so many people do so many big, big things, but this story always stays in the heart of devotees. Which one? A lady going to Jamuna, every day bringing water from Jamuna to Radha Damodar temple. What is it? Very simple. Extremely simple, but that affected the heart of someone who was going to America to begin an international mission. Why should he worry about somebody fetching water from Jamuna and bringing it to Radha Damodar? Very profound. Simplicity is the greatest sophistication. And anyone who has heard that story, as far as I understand, everyone talks about this story. Mere fact that we are speaking about her story now also, and nobody knew about that lady bringing that water. Flower, leaves. No, I always tell this story during the DT welcoming. I heard a story from one Prabhupada disciple many years back, almost when I met him, he would tell me stories of his book distribution party, Radha Damodar bus party. And then when we were in Vrindavan for 1 month for some seva, our Bhakti Vishram Madhav Maharaj told his story. He was also there in that same bus party. He said, I can never forget that story. It happened 35 years back. When he was telling that story, that time it was, you know, 35 years ago. He said they were traveling around America with their Radha Damodar bus party. And this lanky, tall devotee was a pujari. He was offering worship to Krishna, Radha Damodar, you know, aarti, incense. And one small three-year-old child, American child, was standing, watching, observing, what is this, you know, bright statues. And he was seeing this whole phenomenon of offering aarti without understanding anything. And he had a hamburger in his right hand, you know, munching on it. And then he saw this pujari offer the flower. And then he placed the flower at the feet of Radharani, Krishna, all the parampara. And this boy, when he saw this, he ran. He ran to his garden. The hamburger is there in the mouth. He plucked whatever he could pluck, flower and leaves. And he came running to the altar. And he just threw it. And Mom, our Bhakti Vishram Madhav Maharaj, saying, you know what? And he speak the story very, very animated way. You know, and he said, you know what? He threw the flower. And I knew this story because this other devotee had also told, and I would tell this story everywhere. And now Bhakti Vishram Madhav Maharaj speaking in more animated way, and he threw the flower. You know what? The flowers landed at the feet of Damodar. And he started crying. He had tears in his eyes. I can never forget that story. Small story of a child without having any knowledge, but because there was a simplicity and the flower was involved, after 35 years also he will tell that story. And I am telling this story, I tell everywhere. Why? Because simplicity has profound effect. Right? Water, flower, leaf, tulsi. How many stories we read in the Puranas? Rukmini Devi, you know, they wanted to weigh Krishna, right, and give that charity to the Brahmanas. And Satyabhama offered everything, and still they could not make Krishna weigh. How can you weigh Krishna? No, he is weightless, or he is very heavyweight, both. So they did everything, whatever she had, she couldn't satisfy Krishna. And Rukmini only offered tulsi, and the scale turned towards tulsi leaf. So we read in the scripture, and Vrindavan continuously talks about this only, but some or other we bring complexities in our devotional service. When the complexity is brought in devotional service, then the sweetness of Vrindavan is lost. That is unfortunate. One can be satisfied, if you read this story, one can be satisfied in devotional service by offering whatever little, you know, to Krishna according to one's capacity. One does not have to over-endeavor. There is no need for over-endeavor in regards to these ingredients. Sometime devotees, you know, try to, okay, I need to get flower from Holland, I need to get from this. It is not a marriage ceremony. No. Sometime in marriage ceremony, people have to, because of, you know, social requirement, they have to do some show off. We are not talking about whether it is good or bad, but in bhakti, it is not required. In devotional service, you don't need to do it. Whom are you trying to impress? Krishna is not impressed by this hard labor, endeavor, and, you know, complexity. He is happy with simplicity. If we can offer something very local to Krishna, then we read it repeatedly in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Prabhupada, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur define simplicity as what? Simplicity means no duplicity. No duplicity means what? He says being straightforward. If you read repeatedly in purports of Prabhupada, he talks simplicity as being straightforward. Simplicity means straightforward. Simplicity means straightforward. Straightforward means what? He says that a person will not hesitate to tell the secrets even to the enemy. A very profound, very difficult to do. We don't even do it to our authorities also. We think they are our counselor or spiritual master. In fact, in the Vedic literature, it is explained that how a student learns under a guru. What is the system? How do the guru teach the student? Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. There is natural humility. There is service, actual service, not only attitude. There is a service. But when it comes to inquiring from the spiritual master, if you do not understand certain concept, if you are not convinced about certain concept, it is not that you say, yeah, agree, no problem. Are kuch samjhai nahi. Afterwards we go back and we say like that. He said, no, you not challenge, but you say, I didn't get it. I did not understand it. Guru may call you idiot, foolish, rascal, but then it is his responsibility to explain in such a way the student understands. And unless student actually understand, our Gaur Govind Maharaj explains what is saralta and what is crookedness. He was a school teacher. He says, when a teacher is teaching maths in the class, after teaching one or two sums, he asks the student, did you understand? And just to feel, if I say I didn't understand, the student will be chastised by the teacher. He said, do you understand? He will ask all the student. At least they used to do. When he was teacher, he used to do for his student. So then the student has to say, I didn't understand. Mujhe kuch samjha hi nahi. The teacher may say, buddhu kuch samajhta nahi hai. But again, he will put an effort to teach the student. He said, that is called as saralta. That student says, I did not understand. But if he says, yeah, I understood. But then when exam comes, he is not able to write. And he gives another example. That when you are eating prasad, you need one more laddu. You need some more rice or some prasad. But you are afraid, how can I ask? Mere bare mein kya sochenge? Are khud ke bare mein kya soch rahe dekho na? No. Very interesting. He said, then what happens? He is hungry. So when he said, are you done? Done, finished. So Prabhupada explains, in business and eating, one should not be shy. As much as you need to eat, you have to eat. You can't see others plate and say, 6 chapati ka maine ek hi khaya. No, that may be your need. That may be your quota. Why you have to worry about how much he is eating? Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, especially the modern age, is the age of making satisfied based upon comparing with others. That is not Vrindavan. Always comparing with others. Even that comparison comes to our sadhana also. A mother may tell her child, your friend is chanting 16 rounds and you are only chanting 2 rounds. Maybe he's not having the capacity and interest to chant 16 rounds. If that comparison is made, and it is not conscious, but it happens. It continues to happen, however much we discuss, because the whole training, the modern education is trained in such a way that the child's capacity or adult's capacity or his contribution is based upon how others are doing. It is not based upon how much I can do according to my capacity. Prabhupada explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, very, very clear point. He says that one has to decide where I stand. What is my capacity? And based upon that, one should fix one's quota, how many rounds I can chant. No force. And slowly, slowly progress. It is better that oneself is convinced and takes to the path of devotional service, other than because there is a force. Are ye bol raha isliye jab karna padega, ye bol raha isliye jab karna padega. Then you will not chant. unless ultimately you are convinced about what you are doing. That is simplicity. If you have a flower, you offer a flower. If somebody has a golden flower, let them offer golden flower. Why should a person compare a golden flower with a lotus flower? They are two different things. And Krishna appreciates a lotus flower also. Krishna appreciates the golden flower also. Therefore, when Krishna, when he was going around with his entourage, they came to the place of Kaushalya Dej and what are their names? Bahulashu and Shrutadev. Now one was king and one was an ordinary person. And how much king can offer and how much ordinary person can offer? But where did Krishna say that, you know, you have to come to that stage at one day, huh? You have to rise your level. Krishna never told Shrutadev that you have to come to the level of Bahulashva. He may not be able to reach that stage, at least in this lifetime. And if he's interested, I want to be a king and offer everything the way Bahulashva offered to Krishna, then he has to come back to this material world again. If I want to offer what other person is offering, that there is a desire to come back to this material world. It's okay if you want to come back. You will become a king eventually. But how much karma you have to incur? So therefore, the whole concept is offering what is there with you now at this stage. So therefore, in Vrindavan, Krishna's friends, their Krishna consciousness is not depending on the external factors. That is the beauty of Vrindavan. Their Krishna consciousness is depending upon the internal factor. In that sense, Vrindavan, compared to any other town, you cannot compare Vrindavan to the material resources. I don't know what was the GDP rate during that time. Vrindavan GDP rate. Nothing, may not be much, because how much money can you make? Selling cow's milk. We see the farmers, you know, from the modern perspective point of view, IIT engineer, a medical doctor, or an MBA graduate, how much money they make, and how much a coward boy makes. Big difference. Huge difference. But the Brijabasis were very happy. They never aspired to go to Mathura. Mathura mein wanted 400 workers. No? There was no billboards put up in Vrindavan wanting people should come to, you know, Mathura city to work under Kamsa. No, you don't find, because they are completely satisfied. And satisfaction came from their connection to Krishna and their connection to land. And we see that those who have that satisfaction and contentment, they don't care what others are doing. And this is one of the biggest problem in modern times. I'm not even talking about Kali Yuga, it's a modern time problem. That, oh, he knows 50 shloka. It happens with the brahmacharis also. Forget about outsiders. No, your speech has to be based upon what other person gave a talk. Very sad. You are speaking Shastra, but you are comparing your lecture based upon somebody else. You are a different person. You speak what is your heart saying. Don't speak because, you know, I need to speak like that. If you are getting inspiration to speak the way you want to speak by hearing somebody else speak, but if you are imitating, that is again not being straightforward. That will not enhance our bhakti. And however much chanting Hare Krishna we do, we need to chant Hare Krishna. That is the ultimate solution. But to chant Hare Krishna, you know, to invoke Krishna's mercy, our container has to be having depth. If it is flat, on a flat plate, you don't go to collect the sweet rice or lemon juice during Ekadashi after fasting full day, a flat plate, idhar dal do chalega. You know, you take as deep glass as possible. You know, other than 200 ml, it should be 400 ml. Because you only get one glass of one, you know, they just offer one full glass. We have some Ramacharya having a glass, quite big glass. Nice glass. Right. But I don't go with the plate. Why? Because plate cannot hold not even 10 grams. No, I don't take a plate. Okay, isme dal do, I'm satisfied. No, we need a glass. So to chant Hare Krishna, we need to create the depth of the substance. Then we can hold the mercy which is coming from Krishna. When we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When we chant that Hare Krishna mantra with the consciousness of Brijbasis, Brijbasis consciousness is not again, you know, it's a hard labor to serve Krishna and using whatever local is available to satisfy Krishna. And they are expert in that. When we have this understanding, at least when we start with this understanding, when the awareness is there, then maybe slowly, slowly, at least certain aspect, no, that okay, I will offer which is local. I'll offer myself something local. And in this way, when start doing, practically implement that in our life, and slowly, slowly our Krishna consciousness, like our Radha Govind Maharaj is mentioning, that when you say cow's milk, you know, yes, you are interested in cow's milk. Cow milk is the most important part of the cow. But to make that milk, how much preparation is required? You know, there is a field is required, grass is required, and then rain is required, the seasons are required, the farmer's hard labor is required. In all these stages, there is no milk, there is only grass, there is hard work, there is sweating, there is summer, there is winter. Milk to dikhta hi nahi isme. No. Milk is like prema bhakti, aage aayega, you know, it will come afterwards. And then the cow has to be pregnant. You don't get milk from a non-pregnant cow. You know, she has to give birth to baby. Only after that. Nothing is abrupt in this world, including Krishna consciousness. That we should understand. When we read in scriptures, on certain aspects, suddenly you will experience Krishna consciousness. It's a very good marketing gimmick for all of us to attract us to Krishna consciousness. But ultimately what it is? It is a hard work. So then, after all that labor, then actually then the cowherd man has to bend down and he has to start milking the cow. And if your cow is little naughty, what does she do? When you are milking the cow, she kicks you and she kicks the bucket also. No? And all the milk goes in the ground. You know, Maharaj was mentioning when he used to milk the cows. It is not easy milking the cow. Hum log jaate hai kabhi kabhi farm mein and we hold from a distance. That's, you know, like this. And we feel, oh, I milked the cows. It was so good. But if you ask the cowherd boy, ask our Nandan Nandan Prabhu, no, loving cow is a hard labor. It is not simple. How much hard work is there? And then the milk comes. And when that milk comes, and if you are not habituated to drink fresh milk, you get diarrhea. Unfortunately. So just see, if somebody is not habituated for this preparation, if Krishna Prem abruptly comes, then it will be like that person, a fisherman in Mahaprabhu's Leela. The fisherman experienced Krishna Prem. He touched Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, in his most highest ecstasy. It's like a 1000-volt current. But what was his response? His response is that I'm haunted by a ghost. That will happen to us also. You know, he is actually experiencing Krishna Prem, but because he didn't have the entire culture of practicing devotional service. Can you imagine after touching Mahaprabhu when he is in ecstasy? By seeing him you go mad and you touch him, and nobody got the opportunity to touch Mahaprabhu the way fisherman got. That was like on the highest level of ecstasy. Mahabhav on the third stage. There is a conscious stage, there is semi-conscious, and there is unconscious stage. And in that level, this fisherman got to touch. And he knew about Lord Chaitanya. And he would chant Narsingh Mantra. And he was chanting Narsingh Mantra to overcome the ghostly effect. And it was becoming more and more stronger. Right? He said, oh, I am finished now. And what is he talking about? He's talking about who will feed my family now. Arey rascal, you got Krishna Prem and you're talking about who will feed. His consciousness is still about how will I feed my family member. So even if Krishna Prem comes, but if the culture of knowledge is not there, we will consider Krishna Prem to be some troublesome item. To usko dur karne ke liye fir black magic ke baad chale jayenge. No. So we are not fit to receive Krishna Prem at this stage because we don't know to experience the pure milk. No, we are good at this Dudhwala only. No? You know, when the dudh comes, it becomes typically Bombay milk only. It has got so much of flavor. But to consume pure cow's milk, a farmer or a chaube in Mathura can drink 3-4 liters also. Not a problem. But somebody who has no experience of drinking, he has to prepare his stomach to drink that pure cow's milk. When you drink it, if there is no diarrhea, then you know. Okay, you are going in a right direction. So Krishna prema is also like that only. It should not happen abruptly. It's a bad precedent. If something happens abruptly to anybody, you know, it's a wrong example. Therefore, Krishna is being very kind. You know, prema bhakti can only come after sadhana bhakti. When there is sadhana bhakti, and sadhana bhakti is not only about sadhana of chanting 16 rounds and following four regulative principle, but sadhana bhakti also involves, as Prabhupada always said, simple living and high thinking. No, if that simplicity, I am not saying that suddenly we should do. Nothing is suddenly. Even simple living is not suddenly. It has a system. It has to go gradual progression. Somebody has no experience of simple living. Absolutely no experience of simple living. For everything, he has got 10 servants around. 15 servants around. You know, everything. Mother is a servant. Father is a servant. Brother is a servant. Sister is a servant. Wife is a servant. Husband is a servant. You know, that is their lifestyle. So for them to tell, live a simple life, it's not easy. It is extremely difficult. So it is also very gradual progression. When we start doing that, then there is a craving for knowledge. There is a craving for wisdom. When there is a craving for wisdom, and when we interact with people with wisdom, then that churning of wisdom create good realization. And that realization gives the conviction. What is it? That I don't need. It is not artificial. I don't need sophisticated things to make myself happy. And then we are allowed to enter into Vrindavan. Otherwise, if Vrindavan, people enter into Vrindavan, people buy flats in Vrindavan, big homes in Vrindavan. I keep talking about this because if you go and see in Vrindavan, recently one devotee wrote an article about, you know, what's happening in Mayapur. You know, one Prabhupada disciple, he wrote article, buildings, big buildings coming up. People came to retire in Vrindavan and practice devotional service, but the tendency of cheating is still there. You know, the building materials are not used properly, there is no planning, very dangerous buildings. No, so they are not fit to be in Vrindavan. Why? Because the tendency is there. What does Prabhupada say that when mortal and pestle, if it goes to Golok, what it will do? Still do the same thing. No, it will not change. So just carrying this body to Vrindavan and thinking that by living in Vrindavan, you know, with this concrete building, the Vrindavan consciousness will not come in that place. Therefore, our acharyas explain, you don't spoil it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to Vrindavan to take out what was not Vrindavan element. He fought. He struggled. He did sangharsh. No, otherwise it becomes very deceptive. That taking the same consciousness, living in a very palatial building, and then you go out three days, you stay. You are qualified only to stay 3 days or for a yatra. And then you come back and work, struggle in the big cities and slowly adapt the life of simplicity. Only 6 Goswamis are qualified. They are actually the guardians of Vrindavan. Why? Because they show what kind of lifestyle is required to live in Vrindavan. We are not qualified. Absolutely not qualified. No. One has to go to Vrindavan to serve Vrindavan, not to exploit Vrindavan, to create concrete jungle and then create a mafia in Vrindavan. Unfortunately, you know, I quoted this yesterday. Someone was saying, it's an intelligent report, that the largest number of mafia is there in Ayodhya, Vrindavan and Rishikesh. And this begins from the mathas only, not from outside, unfortunately. It's a reality. Religion has caused corruption. Since we are practicing spirituality, we can't just blindly defend. We have to be critically analytical in regards to what's happening, and unless we as an individual work on ourselves, okay, I need to practice Vrindavan bhakti by practicing Vrindavan lifestyle, which was practiced by the Vrijvasis. And what is it? That this is what I have and this is what I can offer to Krishna. I don't have to compare with others. At least if we can do on the platform of bhakti, forget about the material life, about earning resources, there one may have to compete according to Varnashram. But at least when it comes to devotional service, when it comes to offering to Krishna, why not at least in this stage offer what belongs to me, you know, with that simplicity, without looking here, without looking there, even if you look here and there without getting affected by that, you know, I can make nice simple rice and offer it to Krishna, and somebody can make Chinese rice. So why should I think mujhe bhi Chinese rice sikhna hai? No, just because you want to learn Chinese rice so that you can offer to Krishna, you know, you may not learn. You may not be able to understand it. I'm not talking specifically about Chinese rice, I'm talking about the concept that offer your heart to Krishna as it is, and Krishna has the power to handle my heart like he can handle anybody else's heart also. And therefore, when Pralambasur came to Vrindavan, he was a foreigner, you know, coming from outside, and he had no such consciousness. And what was he? Actually, this pastime took place in this month only, Grishma. And he came, and Pralambasur actually denotes, you know, honor and prestige. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that he symbolizes the deception of looking for honor, and whatever way he can get honor, he is willing to changing the form. So Pralambasur came as a coward boy. Just by changing dress, he did not become a coward boy. And Sukadev Goswami explains, immediately when Pralambasur came, and he came instead of one coward boy who was missing that day. Dekho kitna hushyar tha, janta tha ki haan, he has not come. So he adapted the vesh of that coward boy, but Krishna immediately grabbed him. He understood, oh, this is not actual coward boy, he's a demon, but let us play for some more time. And when Pralambasur was carrying Balramji to a long distance, you know, wanting to separate Krishna from Balram and kill Balram, so Balramji, when he realized, he took his fist and he gave, just like when you crack a coconut, and he cracked his head and he separated. Pralambasur was thrown out of Vrindavan forest, which is only meant for simple coward boy and coward women. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, you talked about trying to be simple in especially in devotional service, the items used. Now, the tendency is because of modern things available, media, internet, because the other side is, since Krishna is, everything is an energy of Krishna, why not use everything in the service of Krishna? So, how does one actually balance this whole thing in terms of trying to preach and trying to use all these things while at the other side being simple?
Yeah, that principle is always there. Utility is the principle in regards to spreading Krishna consciousness, you know, in a very organized way. We naturally use that sophistication. But one has to be careful that sophistication doesn't confuse our own personal spiritual life. If I cannot balance between these two, my own personal spiritual life and the requirement for the organization, you know, we create a kind of a conflict between these two. Our consciousness also, if it becomes like that, then it is not good. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, if you take their example, very sophisticated in regards to building the temple, but very simple in regards to their personal life. There is a personal life and there is an organizational life. There is a personal life and there is a life for the society. And the Pandavas, their life was very simple, lived in forest all the time. But when it came to the, you know, creating a legacy for a society, they were willing to take that responsibility. So detaching oneself from there, you know, there is a need. If somebody is having that ability of being a leader, manager, you know, passionate worker, he can't say, no, I want to just practice simple because aaj to class sunna na kuch karne ka nahi. Then they are useless people. No, you cannot do that also. You know, unfortunately, you cannot make simplicity very complex. If you are not simple, you know, you have got brain, you know, limitless brain is there. Krishna has given or you have brought according to your karma. You have to use it. You cannot be simple. So even in simple atmosphere, then you start complicating. Ye kaise kar sakte, wo kaise kar sakte. No, it will not work. So what is the rule? The rule is doubtful that for the society. But in your own life, slowly, gradually, adapt simplicity. So Krishna is not talking about giving up that nature. He's talking about, you know, slowly. If you go in the this cloth mill, they have this crude thread. And from the crude thread, it goes to certain system, then that thread becomes very refined. But the process is very slow. You know, if you see how it moves, going very slowly. So our life is also like that. The crudeness is there, so much of crudeness is there, but if you put through the process, then slowly, you become refined thread. You know, if somebody says, itna slow kyun chal raha hai, main thoda door se dheere se fast kar deta hun, then the thread breaks. No, so the point is very clear. There is no confusion in regards to our tendency. Somebody has a tendency to be a politician. No, if you say no, you remain simple, then he makes politics in the temple also. No? So exhausted. Basically, for a normal person, normal, ordinary human being, he has to go through gradual progression. Somebody is good at making business. And you tell him not to make money. Arre, paisa mat karo. Paisa karne se kya milega? Thoda sa bas hai. No. Then, if he is forced to be separated from that, then he'll come and see, arre, ye hall ka kitna paisa hoga? Uska man usme hai. Tab ye paisa bhi nahi kamayega, keval dreams dekhta rahega. So let him get exhausted. Go out, make money, keep for himself, and give something for us also in the temple. Like that, both facilities are there. No. Anything one who has the tendency, you cannot just get rid of it. You have to doubt it. He has to doubt it. That is what, you know, Krishna conscious teaches. Prabhupada says you cannot overcome your conditioning. I'm not talking about there are good conditioning and there are propensities. There are bad conditioning and propensities. Now, bad conditioning like envy cannot be used in Krishna service. Hypocrisy cannot be used in Krishna service. Hypocrisy is not diplomacy. Hypocrisy is hypocrisy. You can't translate hypocrisy into diplomacy. Hypocrisy is hypocrisy. It has to be given up. The anarthas, which are animalistic in propensity, has to be given up. The tendencies which you are carrying from our previous karma, you know, limitless intelligence, analytical intelligence, वो कैसे छोड़ेगा? So give him a complex Vedanta sutras, read it and find out bhakti sutras from there. No? Then he can work like that. You know, somebody is very good at making money. Somebody is very good at organizing. You tell him, you just remain humble. Bartan saaf kar din bhar. No, he will not be able to do it. Ek mahina karega, do mahina karega, ek saal karega, do saal karega. Fir udhar bhi wo bartan saaf karne mein se leader ban jayega. He'll start putting his position higher and higher. So Krishna never talks about suppressing your good tendencies. What Prabhupada talked about is giving up our anarthas, which are not beneficial for our material life or our spiritual life. No, smoking and drinking, you can't say, no, is a tendency I will use in Krishna service. Main sharabiyon ke sath milunga, main bhi piunga aur unko preach karunga. Nahin, aisa nahin hoga. You cannot. Aap sharabi rahoge, aur wo aapko preach karenge. Aur ek jyada peg lene ke liye. No, there is no strength. But somebody is an artist, somebody is a musician, somebody is a actor, somebody is, you know, very strong tendencies are there. very strong tendencies. At some point of time, they'll go back to it. Or if they don't go back, they'll regret at the time of death. Actually, I should have done it. So they'll come back again. You know, they'll come back as good devotees, chant Hare Krishna and do their acting also. They are not going to go back to God because they regretted of not doing for the rest of their life. This is my understanding, very clear. You know, we say, Hare, oh, you are chanting Hare Krishna and dying. But in there is a regret that I should have done this. Mujhe karna chahiye tha, main kar nahi paya. You know, I became very simple, but I have a strong nature to do something. I couldn't do it. Wish I could come. Wish there is another chance. Abhi kya Golok ki jana pad raha hai, karne ko mila hi nahi. Golok mein to chance hi nahi hai, servant of the servant. Itna bada lamba line ke peeche khada hona padega. So when there is a regret, you know, of not doing what they wanted to do, and you have to go back to Godhead, and you say, then you have to come back. Krishna is very kind. He said, you come back, you chant Hare Krishna also, and do this also, and be satisfied. Abhi, I am tript ho gaya. You know, I am very happy that I have done it. That is what I understand. Now, somebody may differ. Gopinath Prabhu, Gauram Prabhu, any comments? Please. Yes, Sudama.
Because, you know, what I understand is that, you know, when you talk about locals, by Krishna's mercy, I just repeat, my little confusion is that how does one remain simple in an international society that we are in? Because when you talk about local, now luckily for us, local means India. And that means Indian culture is basically nothing but Vedic culture. But in the international societies, local for somebody else is not Vedic culture. So they take the Vedic culture and they try to use it. But because of international society being what it is, there is a lot of exchange. So we exchange Vedic culture and then we get their culture. So it is practically very, very, I won't say impossible, but a little confusing to me. How does one maintain the localness of our bhakti because of, in spite of being in an international society and so much influence?
I was just reading one purport, transliteration, Prabhupada's first canto of Bhagavatam. Very interesting. He says, someone who is born in other part of the world, if you read that transliteration, he talks about, then they can read Bible, Quran. If they are not connected to Vedic literature, they can do that. Very much he is talking about local. When he went to America, I didn't say, I've come here to convert. I've come here to remind you. Because every culture, every human being, one who is born as a human being, he has certain connection to God. We cannot say that only connection to God is only available here. So that purport explains there are certain secular values. Secular values means they are universal. No, looking for love of God. You may not call it as Krishna Prem, but the aspect of loving God is there everywhere, universally. No, so when we preach, if somebody is connected to that, you're only just giving that information. This is how I practice devotional service back in India. He said, I never come here to convert. And because they were not doing anything in regards to spirituality, he said, okay, we have an option for you. Take to Krishna consciousness. And it's very easy. You know, according to your background, your situation. And then another point is, as I was discussing Sri Gauram Prabhu's question, that you may be in international society, but you don't become an international person. You still remain a local. No? If you are rooted in your local culture, so even though you may interact with international people, you're not affected. And you don't show your superiority also. No. You know, okay, for me at this level, at this stage, and at this surrounding, this is how I want to practice devotional service. If you are very clear about that, if people cannot accommodate diversity, if people cannot celebrate diversity, you know, then there is a problem. The whole tendency of modern civilization is to create one kind of lifestyle, which is not possible. You can't force Punjabi to eat dahi rice, you know, or neer dosa. Neer dosa is like a tissue paper for him. He said, hey, what is this food item? I can't eat it. And you can't force, you know, Keralite to eat thick parotta unless he becomes living in cosmopolitan Bombay setting. If you take some villager in Kerala, you know, Punjab is the best, isko khao. Nahi khayega. He will not be able to eat. The problem is, again, Vrindavan is not artificially, the seasons have to go. You know, the summer season in Vrindavan, it's not that the summer was not there. It talks, there was scorching heat. The sun was scorching. But because the land was made in such a way by the Brajbasis, the fountains were there, the water was there. Therefore, most part of their land was green. The sun was still, it is not that because Krishna was there, sun aata hi nahi tha, wo dhoor hi rehna padta tha, Vrindavan ke bahar. No, we cannot assume definition of Vrindavan like that. Vrindavan was in this world, so by Krishna's will, Vrindavan also followed the laws of this world. The laws of this world means what? All the six seasons would affect Vrindavan. But they created spring not artificially, by their hard work. So therefore, you know, the whole thing is, you have to be Billy. So therefore, you remain local. Our problem is we get affected. We get affected. We compare. Oh, my progress is based upon getting these items. That was the beauty of Vrindavan. Krishna's friends, not even one bat, not even gilli, not even danda. It's not that, aray, ghar se leke jata, teen set of danda, gillo. Abhi hum log gilli dandu, you know, yesterday we went to children. There also they had to make a very nice dandu, you know, like a bat only. It has to be round. It has to be fine. The kids in Vrindavan, they just picked up anything. You know, by connecting to land, new game would come. They would take amalaki fruit. Bhagavatam explains here. And they would throw it in the sky. And what you have to do? Take another amalaki fruit, try to hit it. Ho gaya aur ek naya game ban gaya. No? Unless you have a ball, and that too has to be some particular. You know, children, when they get a ball, Prabhuji, ye kaam nahi karta, wo kaam nahi karta. I interact with them. You know, then they have a complexity about, you know, has to be this kind of ball only. A baller will say, isse fast ball nahi hota hai. Batman will say, main marne par bhi hawa pe phir se wapis hi aata hai. So because you're depending on the external factor to experience success. But Brajbasis are not like that. Amalakil nikala, phir baad mein, you know, what is that? Bitter. We add jaggery in that. Bale fruit. All, there are so many round fruits, and Vrindavan, there is so plenty. You can't say, how can they waste? Brajbasis are wasting all the fruits. Garib logon ke liye nahi tha. Garib log idhar ke log hai. Vrindavan mein fruit is plenty. So there is no question of fruit being, you know, some of the fruits are so plenty. Like if you go to this Nasik area and Lonavala area, there is karwanda, you know, and there is jambul. Only when you find in the roadside they sell. But if you go to village, ped ke niche koi karwanda nahi bechta, karwanda lo, because karwanda is there everywhere, you know. They say, re, khalo, khalo, idhar se khalo, udhar se khalo. So because when there is a plenty, and if you use it, even if you throw here and there, what does the land do? Mother Bhumi, if you don't eat, there is so much of plenty, it is not a waste. Are kharab ho gaya, itne sare phal lage, koi khaya hi nahi. Ane, niche gir ke, wo land ko fertile bana deta. Land becomes very fertile. The whole science of Mother Bhumi, if there is plenty, you don't eat everything. You eat as much as you can eat. And remaining will make the land more and more fertile. If you store, you know, this one expert, water expert was saying, if you store 50 liters of water, to niche, what does it do? It attracts more water. It can go up to 5 times. The water becomes more, you know, the land becomes more fertile because the water is, you know, the battery is getting recharged. On the upper level, if you make, store some water, niche aur fertile ho jata. And then certain area, it becomes very soft and you know, fertility increase ho jata hai. So therefore it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility, it's everybody's responsibility. We are in international society, that is unavoidable, you know. Even if you are not in international society, you know, all the bus, all the car, you know, all your spectacle also is international only. You know, that they are basic requirements. But my consciousness, my basic bhakti, especially we will begin a devotional service. Let us not work on material aspect. You place one plant of nimbu, chili, you know, adrak, and offer it to Krishna locally. Window se nikal ke kitchen mein dalo. No. In fact, we are going to develop terrace farming in the temple very soon. Some people are there who are working, and they say you can produce so much of, you know, produce on your terrace only. We have a lot of terrace. People have a lot of terrace. People just stand and watch. No, they can little bend down, you know, put some plants, grow some flowers, and that one flower which you offer it to Krishna is much better than getting a garland from the other market. No? Because that flower is coming from your Radharani is free now 3 months. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, we'll stop here. Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki.